Why me? You don't even know me.
Because what I've seen, I've liked. And I got a good feeling about you.
Happy New Year. Welcome to the show. Happy 2022, everybody. Your holidays are done. Your resolutions, you've already failed. It's late January now. I've already failed them. I was going to be posting more, but welcome to the show anyway. Welcome to the new year. Apocalyptic Zen, that's the podcast. Nick, that's your host. That's me. And that lovely sound, that wonderful song that you're listening to, that's 1111 by Bao. It's our new intro song. Give it some love. I'm going to post his information down at the bottom. Give the artist some love. Huge thanks for the label, for the artist. That's right. That means Apocalyptic Zen is now a certified chill hop, lo-fi podcast. That's right. Chill beats to study and relax and watch the apocalypse unfold too. That's what we're doing here on the show. I think it really compliments. I myself, I'm a big fan. It was, you know, it's a little selfish moment of hedonism for me because this was my most listened to song of 2021. So I'm pretty stoked that this is our new chill hop lo-fi anthem that we're gonna have on the show. So you're gonna be hearing a lot of that. Well, if you keep listening. So thanks for coming back. Welcome to the new year. Hopefully there's going to be a lot more Apocalyptic Zen coming up. And this is a perfect lo-fi episode. It's just a chill conversation, little zone out, little dissociation vibe with Katie. So we kind of talk about a bunch of different stuff. So it's a perfect episode to just put in the background while you're doing some laundry or you're running around for health reasons or whatever the hell it is you people do when you're trying to get healthy. When you're just washing your cat. I don't know what you're doing, but you can put this on in the background. Perfect way to start out the year, or whatever, start out February, whatever, however long it takes for this to get to your ears. Maybe it's in the future, far, far in the future after society has collapsed and this is what you've decided to listen to. So thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us. I think it's going to be a good episode.
Hello, welcome. How are you? How have things been?
Good. It's been all right. Been in a coma just for a little bit of time, but that's all right.
It's all right. COVID will fuck you up. I got COVID.
Yeah, that's right. You got COVID. Yeah. I feel like that's a good way to bring us all back, to bring the show back. Tell us about your COVID experience. How was that?
Yeah, let's use this as an excuse as to why we haven't recorded. So basically, Brandon comes home after a music festival. I'm going to put his ass on blast because I was pissed.
Yeah, that's fine.
He comes back from a music festival, which I was not invited to. And he, obviously it's, you know, I think it was 10,000 people. I can't remember how many fucking people were there. But it's also like, not to shit on anyone, but I'm about to. It was like a rave, which frankly seemed like the type of people who give the least amount of shits about safety. And so he comes home and him and like the guys that he was rooming with while he was there, they all felt like fucked up the first day. But their explanation for this was that the water was dirty and it made their tummies hurt, which I was already very suspect. I was like, yeah, that's no way that all the water that's being piped in is going to taste like that. Okay, whatever. And then that later that day when he got home, he's like, oh shit, dude, like I don't feel well. I have a headache and like my stomach's kind of feeling fucked up. And I was like, all right, well, dude, just keep an eye on it, blah, blah, blah. So I go to work thinking, oh, well, I don't know. Maybe they, you know, like ate something
exposed,
bad.
Exposed your workmates.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So thankfully no one got sick at my work, but I was probably like at the peak of the ability to spread it because it's like the first 48 hours before you get symptoms. And so I get a call from Brandon in the middle of the day. He's like, I'm fucked up. I barely tripped my way over to the bathroom. I'm throwing up. Like my lungs hurt, da, da, da. And I was like, oh my God, like he definitely has COVID. So I rush home, take care of him, give him some food, and then he's totally fine. Like, he's way better. The next morning, I wake up, and I feel like ass, dude. Like, I was seriously feeling so ill. I felt nauseous, so, like, I was puking a little bit, too, on top of it, which I guess is not one of the symptoms, but probably because my immune
system. You just puked.
Yeah, I just puked. It's whatever.
So, and then you find, and then how do you know it was COVID?
Because he got tested after, like, he didn't show any symptoms, which was straight up 24 hours after, and he tested positive. Right. And so, considering, like, I live in a bubble, essentially, I never leave the house, and the one place I go to is my office where everyone's vaccinated, and, like, everyone is on the same train where they just go home, and then they go to work, and that's it. Like, no one goes out or on vacation. And so, the only person who could have gotten me ill was Brandon. And I was sick, I swear to God, Brandon. for like a week and a half. Oh, Brandon.
Mutual friend, but also we can both shit on him. So.
Oh, my God. Well, I still
give him Katie sick, Brandon, if you're listening.
Yeah, no. I still, every time he leaves the house, I'm like, hey, just a reminder. Don't give
you almost killed
COVID,
me.
You asshole. Because it was miserable. Like, my body hurt so bad. I could barely see. Like, my vision was fucked up because I get really bad migraines and it made it worse. But was, like, cool. His taste got fucked up, smell for, like, a week. Mine is still messed up. And this was from, like, months ago. It tastes like onions sometimes when I'm eating stuff. Like, a certain section of my tongue.
That's the apocalypse right there.
Oh, my God. It was disgusting. Terrible. So, yeah. Everybody, if you
You lived, though. You survived.
I survived. Yeah, and all I got was this stupid t-shirt and a vaccine. So, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, hey. Well, you know, we're a little older, a little wiser. Just because you get COVID doesn't mean that the show stops. So.
No, absolutely not. And if I died from COVID, you would do it in my name.
Yeah, and as we've learned today, even if Nick is in a bad mood, it's still, the show doesn't stop. It's
we're not done yet.
Hey,
everybody, be very grateful that I'm the biggest bitch on the block, because I had to push your ass
It's been like 6 months. I got to push through it because, you know, the world will end one day, and what am I going to do when everyone's gone? I have nothing to look back to except for these fucking recordings. So I got to do it, you know?
Yeah. What are the aliens going to do if we don't record and explain to them, like, what life is like?
Yeah. What are they going to think is going on at this time? You know, they can just listen to Marc Maron's podcast. No.
He's a terrible, terrible explanation for human history. Oh, my God, that man.
Yeah, no, he's not giving the raw juice like we are. So, okay, but we're going to ease into it because I needed like a 5-year-old baby steps. So, my 5-year-old baby steps, for me, a lax evening. I've got my wine, my sacramental wine. I've got my sacramental grass, the burning bush. And for me, a relaxing evening is to just kind of look into the wonderful world of super yachts. I think it's a Zen activity for me to what do they do? Those, like, you know, when you're like a 50-year-old woman and you like want to manifest things in your life, you make like a board with a bunch of pictures. What are those?
The secret. Have you never heard of this book?
No, I'm just talking about these boards. Your vision board.
Well, the vision board is part.
It's from the secret.
Yeah, where they have to manifest. You have to physically, like, or visually manifest what you want. So it doesn't really matter how much effort you put into it, so long as you have.
You're looking at it.
Yeah, you went to Michael's. You bought that cork, baby. You have a printer. You printed out the pictures of Robert Downey Jr., who's going to be your future husband.
That you want. And then you'll get it.
You'll get it. As long as you stare at it for a certain amount of time every day.
That's what I'm doing right now with these pictures of these super yachts. I'm just envisioning my future, manifesting my possibilities so that one day, you know, that's where I'll be. You know, that's all I got to do. And that's what I've been doing for the last 6 months. That's why I was gone for so long, is I was just getting really into super yachts. That's all. So.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if there's something to become a nerd about, this is probably the funnest thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. And then, you know, it's like, imagine the future you can have. You just, you know, you save up a few. If you're going to go out like a Russian oligarch, it's like, what, 193 million, whatever. And, you know, as everything around us falls apart, you know, as the ice caps melt and the shorelines recede and, you know, and everybody's lives goes to shit and all the socioeconomic structures we have completely vanish, I get to sit on a big boat with like a lawn chair on it and a helicopter and a really nice bathroom and I don't know, like a foosball table. I don't know. What's like the coolest thing you can have on a super yacht? Another boat.
Well, you
little...
have like indentured servants that are doing everything for you.
True.
Yeah. Wiping your butt, whatever you want.
You're right. I didn't immediately jump to that, but that's true. I will also probably just have indentured servants who know that it's like, you know, it brings you back to a feudal time when the richest guy, like to be the most powerful person was just to have like the biggest pile of corn, you know, like I'm just the future version of that guy. That's what I'm doing when I look at these pictures.
Yeah, but
like,
you just have the biggest pile of boat parts.
Of boat parts assembled in a way that makes a boat, but also, yeah, essentially I have the biggest pile of boat parts. And it go, you know, sometimes I'm doing a lot of research about the ancient world. Sometimes it's corn, sometimes it's salt, sometimes it's gold, and sometimes it's boat parts. If you just get a big enough pile, you get to live at the highest of the tides. So that's what I'm hoping.
Sometimes it's boat parts with gold on it. Yo, did you see like the most expensive boat in the world?
No, I haven't. Maybe it's in these articles I was looking at, but I haven't seen. Tell me.
Let me tell you.
Oh, is it the world's biggest? I have the 10 world's biggest. Is it that one?
Okay, the biggest and most expensive. So let me read the other ones are cool, but once you read number one, like
once you skip to the bottom, we don't have much time on our hands. We got to skip all the way to number one.
Okay, so number one, history supreme. The owner, Robert Nock. Price, $4.8 billion. Now you might be asking yourself, nice. Who the fuck is Robert Nock? Okay.
Yeah, no
idea. Basically, he's a Malaysian business magnate and investor of Chinese descent. Since 1973, Nock has been living in Hong Kong. According to Forbes, his net worth is estimated at $12.6 billion as of last April 2021. So what's weird is like, okay, if this is $4.8 billion, he's worth $12.6. Like, that don't add up to me. I don't think that it's a wise business decision to like invest a third of your money into boats. But
yeah, what?
You know he's hiding some of that, so whatever. Anyway, explanation of the boat. Solid gold. At $4.8 billion, the History Supreme, owned by Robert Nock, is the world's most expensive, largest superyacht in the world. At 100 feet in length, History Supreme took 3 years to build, using 10,000 kilograms of solid gold and platinum, both of which adorn the dining area, decks, railing, staircases, and anchor. If that wasn't luxurious enough, the master suite features a meteorite rock wall, a statue made out of Tyrannosaurus Rex bones, and a 68-kilogram, 24-carat gold Aqua Vista panoramic wall aquarium, and a liquor bottle adorned with a rare 18.5-carat diamond.
Fuck. Wow. Okay. I just Googled this. Wow, I had no idea this existed. I feel like I saw this in my nightmares, but I don't think I thought that this was like a real.
You know, it's like not that pretty of a boat. I don't know. Like, I don't obviously know, man. It's shiny, but
it's
from the
pretty...
outside.
I think it's going on my spirit wall, on my spirit board,
on your vision board,
on my vision, my vision meteorite wall.
How the fuck did he get dinosaur bones?
Yeah, what is it like? What is the mindset of a man who owns this? Like, if you ask him, like, why do you have this boat? Like, what?
He's like, it will appreciate in value. Tyrannosaurus Rex bones today, whatever. Tomorrow, probably double that. You got to 10x your money, baby.
What do you think of what is the percent chance that the guy who rolls around in this boat knows who Gary Vaynerchuk is and likes him?
Likes him? No. I don't think he likes him. He looks like a real button-up guy from the pictures that I saw. I bet that he thinks that he is fucking trashy, especially because he is such a crackhead in the way that he talks. He's probably just like, oh, low, like white trash.
Yeah, he has too many like low tier, you know, kind of like mannerisms. So he's trying too hard to be like a part of, you know, pop culture society. And to be a part of pop culture society, you can't be like this gaudy. If you're this gaudy, you only like other people that are this gaudy. You're
probably that are gaudy. Well, that's the rule, right? If you are like trying really, really hard, you're doing it wrong. If you are of like the top 0.001%, that means you have the worst fucking possible taste. You love the ugliest things, and you hate on everybody who's below you because you think that they have terrible taste.
Yeah. Well, okay. So one recent little piece of information about super yachts that I think that these are such an image of our time, you know, like really nightmare inducing, the idea that like these things are everywhere now. This article says, okay, it's kind of hard to tell, but there's about 10,000 of these, which is like, that's like, it's like a decent sized city of super yachts. Like it's like a, you know, if you put them all together, it's like its own little,
if each one was like a person, or the people who own them.
If each one was just like a building, which is basically what they are. They're just like floating buildings. So there's this article here though, that kind of talks about how these are really becoming the, you know, these are the new sports cars of our time. Sailing away, super yacht industry booms during COVID pandemic. And it talks about how in an era of environmental awareness and oh my goodness, I literally can't talk. This is what happens. When you go into a hyperbolic chamber for 6 months, you come out and you literally can't
talk.
And
you just suckle upon the blood of Christ when you get
out. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. My sacramental, I think I might've mentioned it, but I'm drinking sacramental wine, actual sacramental wine. This is how I relax. Talking about super yachts, sacramental wine.
If you can't get the blood of babies, get the blood of Christ. You know what I mean?
It's one or the other. But anyway, it talks about how in part because of the coronavirus crisis, the super yacht industry is booming and the number of vessels under construction or in order worldwide has hit a new record. According to the figures revealed, latest edition of Boat International's Gold Order Book. Oh, Global Order Book. Reading into, I was just hoping that they would be more gaudy, but anyway, more than 1,200 super yachts are slated to be built, a rise of 25% on last year. So that means take all the super yachts we have, and we're going to get 25% more, just out of the pandemic, basically. So like this is the time of the great super yacht fortress. Like during the pandemic, all of these rich assholes who were so busy with whatever bullshit they were making up for themselves on the land, like on the, you know, on the mainland where the rest of us are, they just decided that they were going to like, you know, go wade out into the ocean with their luxury and like escape the rest of us sick little, you know, we're just disease machines. So why even be near us? It seems like, if I were them, they're doing the smart choice. You know, they're getting the fuck away from us. We're the real danger to them. You know,
it's kind of like the concept for the Mars pods or whatever, but these people are hedging their bets. They're like, what if Mars doesn't work out? What if I don't like it there? You know is familiar to me? A familiar evil is the ocean. Why not get a pod that will send me out there?
Yeah. Oh, it's so nice. It's so like, you don't have to worry about pesky things like international law, taxes. You probably don't need to worry about that. You probably get it. Like, imagine, I'm like, there's probably a way. And honestly, this is the way of the future. I think maybe is there an NFT for this idea? Cause if there is, I think this is going to be a fucking banger. Super yachts, but as a tax haven, like you get to just have a super yacht as your address for
it. What do you mean? An NFT is something that is non-fungible. Why would you buy a super yacht if you can't?
No, it's an NFT for the mere idea. Okay, I don't know. I'm too stupid to make NFT jokes. I can't make NFT jokes. It immediately displays how completely stupid I am. I know what one is. Okay, an NFT is just like a digital. I've talked about this before. I know what an NFT is. It's fine. I don't even know what to explain it to me.
No one's gonna know it, buddy. one's mad at you for not knowing what all of these made up things are.
Yeah, well, wait for, I mean, soon NFTs are going to be like dollar bills. Like, it's like, if you need 55 NFTs to get a candy bar, like, you know, what happens when I don't understand that and I can't get a fucking candy bar, you know?
Oh, you just don't get to have candy anymore. Yo, yeah. I looked up your idea. It already exists.
Super Yachts is tax havens?
Okay, well, no, I mean, like, so the article is from PC Gamer, and it says someone bought a $650,000 NFT yacht for a game that hasn't been released. Basically, like, it's not, because the tax haven idea, I think, is like the whole point of crypto, even though now that's kind of coming down because you have to report your crypto earnings, which completely undermines and undercuts the point of having
the purpose is really kind of wrapped up in the purpose of the whole thing.
Yeah, it seems like so self-defeating. I don't understand. Because like all cryptocurrency was supposed to be a tax haven for people who were kind of normal-ish as far as like their earning capacity. But now you have to be able to like report on it, which is stupid. I don't know.
Right.
But anyway, it says in the latest development of the NFT techno financial Jesus trash fire none of us are allowed to look away from, Hyperbeast reports that NFT yacht just sold for $650,000. More precisely, the Metaflower Super Mega Yacht went for 149 WETH, or wrapped Ethereum. Its utility over regular Ethereum eludes me. But crypto people love having multiple barriers of transfers, digital wallets, and withdrawals between the money of the future and the money you can use to pay your rent. So it seems like someone is doing like the tax haven thing with the boat on NFTs, or like on a gaming system, so that like it's more difficult to be able to trace back after that purchase, like what sort of money that they earned for that year.
Huh. Wow. So
digital tax haven.
Yeah. A little digital boat to hide all your money. That's pretty cool. I think, I just don't know why I don't have the right grind set to get into that myself. Like where did I go wrong? Why am I not jumping in?
It's confusing as fuck. Let me tell you, like, I try so hard and Brandon explains it to me so many times. And I don't get it still. And I try and I read all the white papers. I do all the homework and it makes less and less sense to me. I can't tell you, like, I'm an idiot. I have been scammed multiple times because I read the white papers. It sounded like an excellent idea. I would put money down on it. And then it turns out to be a scam. And I'm like,
really? Is that with this is like your crypto endeavors?
Yeah. Yeah. Like there is one. And hey, fuck, I don't even think that they're allowed to trade anymore. I got to figure out like what the name of it was. But there was one and it made a lot of sense. It was like the way that they would be able to like generate the cryptocurrency, right? Like to kind of prevent inflation would be that like it was based off of the number of transactions for pharmaceuticals and for what's it called? Like medical equipment. And so when you're shipping it out of the United States into other areas, it would have like a code basically on each one of those to ensure that it's actual medication and not like a knockoff. And so that way you would ensure that like if you're living in some country where you're not getting insulin produced or something within that country, you'd be able to make sure, hey, this isn't fucking sugar water that someone's put together for me here and they're trying to rip me off. Like I would be able to see based off of the QR code that this is in fact real. So it sounds like a great idea. I thought, especially because it was the height of the pandemic pre-vaccine. Okay. And the biggest selling point was we're going to do this for vaccines. And I was like, oh my God, we're going to like, as soon as Johnson & Johnson or whoever comes out with this, like does it, I know for a fact they're going to sell it to other countries. They're not going to just be giving this shit away. That's how they roll. So what's the best way to be able to protect your assets in that way? Like put a QR code on it, right? Makes perfect sense. Invested like a good chunk of change. A week later, the website shut down.
Fuck, dude.
Fuck. Oh my God. Oh. And like Brandon was like, I don't know, man. I think this is a scam, dude. And I was like, no, dude. No, dude. Listen, this is... Think about it. This is a great idea. Like foolproof. And now he doesn't take my
Okay, look. I've been trying to kind of stay away for, I mean, I got a little bit into some crypto, but I was like pretty I was, you know, I was pretty, I didn't do too much basically. I was a little bit reserved with my investment, but like the thing is I genuinely think, that like crypto or just like, these new novel ways to invest are generally scams. It's just, you know, ridden.
Yeah, but this is the thing. If it's a scam and you're able to jump off the ship before everything crashes and burns, then, like, you can make out like a fucking
thing. It's basically just, they're basically, you know, popularity-driven lotteries. Like, they do, people really do get rich off them, and it's all an investment bubble, you know, and that's, like, why there's basically all these like financial there's like an entire financial empire fucking brain tree of a bunch of people who are like so fixated on where the rising tides are, you know, making money off of the popularity of you know, whatever the newest financial fad is, but it's like so detached now from reality that, or any like physical commodity, that it like the inflation itself is the product. You know, it's basically like the fact that you can make money on this is the thing that is the selling point, you know? So right. Like,
yeah. So, I mean, like, what do you do when your country or like your economy doesn't produce anything? Like, you turn to speculation market, and then what happens when like your entire market is made out of a speculation?
Like, yeah, there's I can't even judge it on like, is it a good or bad thing? Because everything else in the economy is such bullshit that it's like, of course, as many people, you know, as possible are going to jump into like, speculation. We're seeing like, there's just like this dumbing down of speculation where it's like so accessible to just throw some money into really obscure niche speculative markets in a way that like, no, the average person didn't really do. And it's like, I think it's stupid, but I also can't criticize it because it's like the lottery. Like, you can win. Yeah. It's, you know, it's like, I mean, you can do it.
The people,
and it's even really better because you can kind of guesstimate which one it might be.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that I find kind of interesting about this whole thing. Because one, of course, it doesn't make any fucking sense aside from popularity. It's basically the same thing as your high school, like, class president, where it's like, okay, you have the person who makes the most amount of sense and like is the one who is the most qualified and they're pretty nerdy, but like, whatever. And then there's the person who's a jock and they end up getting it because it's the most popular. At the very least, it's like very democratized, which I think is kind of nice. It gives people access
to, but it's like, it's democratized. But I will say, sorry to cut you off, like, it's democratized within an arena that is super controlled, you know, like, it's democratized within, it's basically democratized only within the specific vehicle you've invested in with the specific amount, and your money is what's democratic. It's not like a dynamic.
No, I wouldn't say that necessarily. You know? Like, I think that it's mostly like the nerds who are into it. That's the democratic process, right? Because like, let's say there's Pulse, I think, or Hex. I can't remember which one came first. But like, that's something that was valued at less than a penny. And then people who had invested in it, which tended, based off of like the calls that I heard and like the YouTube videos that I've seen, the people who are pumping this tend to be people where you can tell, like, okay, they live in an area where there are not very many economic advantages or like jobs. And the reason I say this is because another project called Glass, that one literally every single day had a lottery. Like, you invested a certain amount, there were two lotteries that they ran every single day, and people were able to win, like, the pot, basically. But all of the voices that I fucking heard on that thing when people were live chat room were from the South and from the middle of the country.
Okay. Maybe instead of saying, maybe it's less that it's a it almost to me is more sounding like it's not necessarily a democratic process as it is like it's like a private democratic process. You still like the mere fact that it's so tied to like how much you can put into it.
Right.
I hear people say that it's democratic, but I have a hard time because, like, then what is democracy? Just the fact that you, like, kind of don't have very many, like, that you don't really have a specific barrier to put your say in, but the barrier is always money. Like, if the whole point is it's like a financial vehicle, then the mere fact that it's a financial vehicle makes it so that it's not truly democratic. It's still money based.
Yeah, there's like a barrier that you have to get over in order to play, right? It's pay to play. Yeah. But at the very least, like, the argument can be made, hey, if you're trying to do that with Bitcoin at this point, like, impossible if you're a normal ass person, because Bitcoin is valued at far too fucking much. But if you're trying to go for these early projects, a good example of which was like Glass. I remember that was valued when people, like, when the project opened at less than a penny, like a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction. And then it pumped up because so many people got excited about the project. They saw what the value was. And so they invested because you can put in a dollar or whatever, just like Dogecoin. Like, I bought when it was less than a penny, and then all of a sudden it got pumped because people thought it was funny and they went online and they were like, hey, we can all invest and pump it at the same time. And that would be able to increase the value, right? Because just like anything else, like, if more people are trying to buy it, that means that the value goes up. And so this, like, ability to pump certain like shit coins in particular, I think is something that is democratic because the pay to play is so low. If you have like a couple, if you have a bank account, basically,
but what functionally is I don't know what is being a what I don't know what kind of democracy it is, though. Like, it's literally, how does it function other than a lottery? Like, I don't know how else to see it other than it's a speculative lottery.
Because, like, the thing about
there's no actual like you said, I want to actually like ask specifically. You were saying that they saw the value, but like when you say they saw the value as a thing they could put their money in and then pull out and have more money. Like, that's the only value it has. It's not the same thing like saying Tesla has value, fucking God forbid, because you physically just to get to be like, well, they're physically making something and that's the value and that's what I think is going to get me back my money. But like, you know, all the NFT or all the web-based money makers are either attached to, you know, like stocks, like things that are actually making money, or they're like this, which is like, they're attached to the value of being a decentralized currency, this abstract thing that has a value.
This speculative, like, economy. I mean, that's the thing.
And everyone's just using them to pull out money later. You know, they're not using them to do anything else other than as a financial vehicle. So to me, I just have a hard time understanding, how is it a democracy when in the end you're just playing a different version of a lottery? Like, you're not doing anything else with it. It doesn't, like, actually show your decision making in the real world. It's just you make money or you don't, and it's based on the guess.
The group thing that increases the value, I think that's democratic, because like you can hop on Reddit and start like basically pumping the stock by getting people excited. The other thing too is people go on what's it called? It's supposed to be that like chat room essential or like texting kind of, but it's not associated with like your phone number necessarily. Yeah, like WhatsApp, they have it. I know that the other one, Discord, or not Discord. Fuck. I'm forgetting. But all of those like have groups that you can join for free and like have people share information and say like, I just dropped X amount of dollars on this. It's valued at this, like who wants to join me? And then you see a group of people that go like, fuck yeah, this is, you know, I have enough money in the bank to be able to throw down $20. Let's see if we can pump it. And then they'll go and post on social media and try to get people excited about it to increase the stock or like whatever the coin value. So from that point of view, like your ability to influence it, I think is democratic versus like, hey, I have nothing to like be able, I have no influence over, let's say, Johnson & Johnson stock because like I don't have the ability to be able to like increase or decrease their like product costs. I'm not able to increase or decrease like their operating costs. You just have to sit back and wait and hope that Johnson & Johnson makes the right moves because they're a company that is interested in making money. At the very least, like you do have a hand in the ability to sway the market. It's kind of closer to like insider trading in that way.
I mean, do you like once they become valuable enough, like Bitcoin, then big players actually just come in and actually manipulate the market because they actually have money. Like, there's right. no magical way to give yourself money with these things in a weighted way where, like, you know, like, yeah, I think it like when it always just drills down to the most more influence comes from more money. I don't think you can call it democratic. Like, I just think you can call it.
Well, it just depends at what point you get into the project too, right? Like Bitcoin, it's already taken off. There's nothing you can do. But if there's a project that's like about to drop, let's say that I know like Tron, they have a platform now and they have a couple of projects that are like pending and they're supposed to drop.
Is Tron like a cryptocurrency thing or?
Yeah. So Tron itself was a coin, I believe, and like somebody double check me on this, but now they have like a trading platform. I know that for sure. I also believe that it's like
are you just trying to say that there's things that are kind of cryptocurrencies but they actually have like a product at the end?
No, none of these are going to have products. Everything is fake. Get that through your head, Nicholas.
No, that's good. I feel like that proves my point though.
No, if anything, I think it might undercut it because like if you do if the value of something is based off of the product that it creates or the value of the product that it creates, the only democratic power you have at that point is to buy up that product. But like the same thing is kind of true of cryptocurrency.
That sounds the exact same cryptocurrency though.
But the difference is that like there is very few things that like are being invented anymore that are at a consumer available price, right? Like there's tech items. There are like tech products, but those tend to be like out of reach for people if they wanted to hoard them for whatever.
Invented? I don't know if crypto is like an invention though.
I mean
the blockchain is an invention.
Cryptocurrencies that are being released. And so like, no, it's not inventing anything, but it's creating like a new avenue, similar to like more competitors within the marketplace, right? I can either put $20 into Dogecoin or I can put $20 into Glass or I can put it into what's another one? Polygraph or whatever. Like there's all of these different ones that I can invest in. And then based off of like my additional footwork, which would be like trying to get my friends into it. It's like a pyramid scheme.
So the thing you're saying is democratic is picking which label of silly coin like is the coolest, like
which label you think is going to be able to like take off. And the ability to influence the price, I think, is like the biggest one, right? Like you can't influence the price of like a certain stock. Like I can't go in there and say like, okay, I'm going to pump up Shell by posting all over social media and saying like Shell is the best gas. Everybody buy Shell. I mean, I could, but it's too big of a corporation for me.
I could say the same thing about Bitcoin. Bitcoin's too big of a coin to really affect anymore.
Right. This is only true of like either shit coins or coins that are being basically minted at its genesis.
Right.
Because
I think we've gone on a big tangent, but it basically sounds like you're just trying to say. And I just disagree with you here that like coins are uniquely democratic in the same way that like argument would apply to say that like penny stocks are democratic. Like
yes, if you're easy able to
financial vehicles are actually people. Democracy. I don't know. Yeah,
your ability to influence like buyers' behavior is the democratic process.
I just think the moment they become truly valuable or like
then
perceived,
all of a sudden that loses its yeah it loses
yeah, because
it.
Then big players come in and make it undemocratic again because then they actually throw their
right.
The process can never be truly democratic if it's based in like coins are trying to I don't know if this is what they're specifically trying to do, but some people out there in the coin world are explicitly trying to create a universe of finance that is separate from the one we have now to try to give people who are disenfranchised a leg up. I know because I've just like literally heard people be like crypto is going to stop poverty in the third world. Like they think of it as this tool to get out of the current financial world. But you can just use the money you have in the current financial world to get into that financial world. So there's no way to stop like the, there's no way to create a true barrier between the current power structure we have in the economy and like this new one we're trying to build.
Right. Because the only difference would be like if you had earning power on those platforms, which I guess like could be true if you're on Coinbase, for example, you can like sit through a quiz and then make $10.
It's but in the end, that'll never outweigh Jeff Bezos' money. Like if Bezos wanted to put all his money into fucking shitcoin 0.5.
No, I think agree with you. I think that like it's not in a vacuum and forever going to be democratic. It's only democratic for a short period of time for certain assets based off of valuation price.
To sum it all up, I agree with you. And in that way, I can't blame people for like hopping on. I've like hopped on board. It's like, but it is still, I just feel like, how can it not just be a silly coin? Anytime it's just more than a silly coin that you're playing the lottery with, I just like can't help but roll my eyes. It doesn't feel like it's anything ever going to be more. It doesn't feel like it's ever going to be more than that. I don't really think a decentralized currency is going to like any time in my lifetime stop the way we normally do currency.
Or no, I think it's naive. A continuation of like whatever we end up doing with like in an alternate universe if we continue with like whatever.
I guess I'm more saying I hope it doesn't. Like I also am hoping.
Baby. It's happening. They changed the name of the Staples Center.
do you think like we're going to have a decentralized currency?
I think so, just because of like how much it's
Are you excited about that?
No, I hate it. Yo, I'm a grandma on my phone. Like, I'm okay on the computer, but I'm an idiot when it comes to Apple Pay. I just figured that out like a month or two ago.
Yeah, like what if the whole world is run on Bitcoin? Like, do you think, I bet a lot of people would be really excited about that. I would be terrified. Oh,
a bunch of people would be excited, but think about all the grandmas and the grandpas and the people.
I mean, just think about me and you.
We're fucked. Like, if you don't know how to use, and those sites are fucking hard. Like, I have a Bittrex account. It's so fucking hard to figure out what the hell's going on.
The government in general too, the government is so bad. But like, I think there's so much more proof that private companies are bad, if not worse, like in general, like, you know, it's like, why would you trust the government to handle the money? Well, they've done it since the beginning of time. I'm not trying to say that that means they should do it forever, but it's like,
well, also like, remember all of the times, like every few years when the fucking economy would collapse, when we had valued our currency off of like the gold standard, which was not something that was like handled by the government. Mm-hmm. It was like every couple of years. We can't have something that's like so uncontrollable because one, well, yeah, I mean, right,
the,
like,
and the big problem that the government, like the general problem with the government and like the broad financial institution is that they're balking too much to corporate interests. That like the idea that like it's completely out of the purview of governments, we just get Bitcoin. Everybody uses Bitcoin, and it's like it's the Wild West financially. Like that sounds so much worse. Like it sounds like literally there's no barriers anymore at all. Yeah, they just abuse like, us as hard as possible.
I'm just thinking. I mean, I worked in restaurants for years. Like you don't, for example, get your credit card payments and receipts until you run inventory for the day, or like you hit the POS system buttons and it runs all of the numbers in the credit cards. That means that if you end up going in, and let's say that we change to Ethereum, which I think would probably be like the one that people are gunning for a little bit more, just because one, it's less expensive, and two, there are other attachment products or like projects on the Ethereum network specifically with NFTs. So let's say, for example, I went in, I bought a hamburger, it's valued at like, I don't know, point something of Ethereum, equivalent to like $10 USD, right? Mm. At the end of the day, let's say that the value of Ethereum just takes a nosedive because of something, whatever the case might be, right? Like it could just be people like not hyping it up enough, whatever. All of a sudden, if I'm that restaurant owner and I should have made, I don't know, like 3,000 in sales that day, that $3,000 that I was supposed to make could be cut in half, which means that I'm not being able to cover my operating costs. I'm not able to like continue paying my staff or buy ingredients or whatever. It's stupid because it is such a fluctuating market. Like you wouldn't be able to effectively like run companies anymore that people are buying goods from.
Well, we are not talking about super yachts.
No.
Talking about like cryptocurrency and shit, which is fine. It's okay. That's probably the way this should start going, is like just whatever works, whatever comes
whatever
out.
Whatever works. Post-production.
We're on vacation, all right? Don't take shit too seriously. We were going to do an episode about Gary V and all these other like people who are very like, get your shit done. And look, maybe I'm just a lazy piece of shit, but I'm on vacation. I'm sorry. I'm not answering your texts right now. I'm not coming to your baby shower. I'm on vacation until I die. All right.
Vacation mindset. And you know what, Nicholas? Right. Let me tell you this.
What?
Gary Vee would tell you that you are not lazy. You are afraid. Establish what you were afraid of.
Listen, Linda. Oh, God, you know the most horrible thing? I know we're not doing a whole episode on these guys. I got too stressed out about it because it was too much to talk about. It wasn't vacation enough for me.
It's okay. But
I can't stop thinking, and I don't want to shit too much on him, specifically because our good buddy Brandon likes him. So I can't. I don't want to shit. I like Brandon. He likes
Gary Vee. Sweet baby Brandon. We love him.
He's a sweet baby Brandon, and we're all bumbling idiots, including myself. But Gary Vee... he's just like a snake salesman. He's such a boob. But anyway, the thing that I keep thinking about is his whole deal where he's like, just don't open your eyes until you're 27 or whatever. I don't know how he said it, but it's like basically just be okay with the idea that you're gonna close your eyes and work as hard as you can until you're 27. And it's just like, and he's like, you know, you work for 8 hours a day. Okay, cool. Whatever. You work 9 to 5. I want to hear what you're doing from 6 o'clock to midnight. And it's like, he's literally saying that when you turn 18, you're going to spend the next few years working an 8 hour a day job. And then he literally says shit like, post on your Instagram for the next 8 hours.
Yeah, like monetize your lifestyle. If I was doing that, people would not follow me because I suck.
Yeah, because then you hollow yourself out as a person, you know?
Well, also, like, I'm so fucking tired after I'm done working. It'll be like, hey, y'all, hello, all my followers. I want to just go to sleep. Are you guys tired?
So this
anyway, these are the pillows that I use. Yeah, they're a little crusty. Yeah, they're a little yellow. I'm a drooler. What can I say? Like, it would be so lame if so many people did that, but I don't know.
And you know what? I get it. We're broker than ever. We're like one of the brokest generations. Like, feels like you got to do that, or you're not going to get that golden yacht. You're not going to get not even the copper yacht. You're going to get like nothing.
You will not even get a toy boat, dude.
You won't even get a toy boat because that's just the time we live in. We just happen to be in the downswing in this empire in this time. Like whatever. So I get why that would be like a juicy, you know, treat to suck on, because you're like, fuck, there is a way. But it's like, I don't know, it's like, honestly, if that's the way you get to, if you go, you know, that, you know, all these people with super yachts, how many of them are rags to riches? Extremely
also
small.
How many of these people have Instagrams? Like very few. Why? Because they're busy doing other shit.
And I'm using the super yachts hyperbolically, because like it's not like literally everyone's trying to get one. But if your whole life, I don't know what you're trying to get to, but if you're trying to get to super yachts and you think the way to get to super yacht is to close your eyes until you're 27, like that's still not enough to get you to the super yacht. I'm sorry. Like nothing will get you there. You can't close your eyes for as many years as you want to guarantee. I mean, maybe you hit the lottery at the end and you get one magically because you hit the lottery. But I promise you the reason why you'll get the super yacht is because you'll hit the lottery. It's not because you worked your ass off. Like the work your ass off part is not the actual like part that that's not actually what you're supposed to do. That's not the way you get returns in this economy is you can kinda, but like, what's the point? Just be smart. Just like, I'm stupid. I can't do it. I can't get in the super yacht, but it's like, okay. Like if you want the super yacht, just realize you have to be smarter than everybody fucking else. You have to get luckier than everybody fucking else. And don't just grind yourself into dust. Like there's no fucking point. Whether you're smart or stupid, don't grind yourself into dust. Like, why live
or
like
you can put it on your vision board and stare at it for 10 minutes every day, say a little prayer, and that increases your chances of winning the lottery as well. So put that
you might as well. I honestly bet if you asked vision boarders, if you took all the vision boarders and you took all the grind set mindset people, I bet the proportion is like the same for the people who get super yachts. So you might as well. you know?
Yeah. Hey, you know what though? I just looked up like who owns super yachts. The only way or like chance in hell that you would be able to get one is if you were either like a Tiger Woods where you're incredible at sports or like a J.K. Rowling, because they both own super yachts.
J.K. But, like, Rowling has a super yacht?
Yeah, dude. Like, fuck, yo, bro. If you have an idea for a children's book that is going to take off, then hey, put that bitch on your super board or vision board or whatever, and you might be able to get it. But otherwise, if you're not good at sports, if you're not, good at writing.
Two questions.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm interrupting.
No, you're good.
Two questions. One, do you think J.K. Rowling had a vision board? And two, how many super yachts have Harry Potter paraphernalia? Is it just the one? Is it just hers? Or do you think there's more?
Yo, there's even think that she has like Harry Potter shit in there.
Yeah, you don't think she's that tacky? She's like,
No. Okay. I feel like she's trying to get away from the Harry Potter shit. She's probably so annoyed.
So none. Do you think it's zero? Zero have?
I think so. There's too much Tyrannosaurus Rex bones and stuff cluttering up the place. You don't have time to be putting books around.
I don't know. I guess I assumed like some like granola person turned super yacht owner would have been like, oh, I like it. But anyway, okay, but the second question, do you think she had a vision board?
Yo, she lived in her car. She did not have space for a vision board.
She had like a vision plate.
No, she had a vision sticky note that was crumpled up in her ashtray.
There you go. There you go. And now she has a super yacht. Okay. But anyway, so if you want one of these, you gotta be fucking JK fucking Rowling. Or I mean, that is a rags to riches super yacht story. That's one of the few. Okay.
So, hey, there is a shot in hell. It's a small shot. I would say get writing people. But
do you think she worked as hard as Gary Vaynerchuk asked people to? Like, I don't think so.
I mean, like, hey, if you landed yourself, and not to say that this was her fault, because I get it. Like, shit sucks and things like outside of your control make this happen a lot of the time. But like, if you're living out of your car, you physically can't work that many hours. Yeah. Like,
oh no, I meant like while she was, you know, like while she was on the upswing, you know, like getting those books written.
Yeah.
I don't think she was doing that level of effort like Gary asked us.
I don't think so. Yo, Harry Potter, not gonna lie, not my favorite. Like, you could probably pump out one of those books much faster than people expect.
Yeah. And definitely not a 12-hour a day. You know, like it's probably, I don't know. I've never written a book, but I don't know how fast she cranked those up, but I'm going to say it was not a 12-hour day. And if it was, then you know what? Then she deserves that yacht, I guess. I guess that's how it's supposed to work. It's like, oh, why do you deserve a giant golden yacht, sir? It's like, oh, I worked for 18 hours a day for 10 years.
No.
And then you're like, you get a yacht.
Yeah, I just looked it up. She worked approximately 6 hours a day on those books. I mean, it like took a few months, but hey, that's the thing is like, don't burn yourself out. And take it from me, like I used to work anywhere between 2 and 5 jobs at a time.
Yeah,
I slept for like 3 hours and it sucked. And now when I need to actually like grind and figure out what the hell I'm doing with my life, I am so tired all the time. I feel like
you use up
so much of your energy and like you only have so much, I think, right? Like, and so.
I mean, not really, but yeah. I mean, like mentally, spiritually. You do.
That's why Donald Trump doesn't walk. He doesn't exercise because you only have so much. Only so many steps.
He thinks that that's the case. That's what you're
thinking. No, he knows that's the case. That's why he's able to eat so many hamburgers and still be able to rock it, dude. It's because he knows. I didn't know earlier. I wish that he would have spoken out about this issue when I was 19.
Yeah, 20. we're like a. I kind of make this joke when I'm like feeling tired anyway, but I think it's just it's the truth. Is like we have little stamina bars, like we're in video games, and I get in like I always feel like I have ADHD. All right. We're at an Alcoholics Anonymous. anyway, I'm drinking the sacramental wine. Anyway, I have ADHD, and one of the things they mention is like when you have ADHD, you basically just have low willpower. But I think we have like lifelong willpower. So like, Yeah, like you said, like if you work too hard, like if I exercise, I don't know what anybody's doing with exercise. That's
no,
you're just wasting the clock. You're just spinning the clock forward. I'm just going to be sedentary my whole life. I'm going to be like 150, you know?
Yeah, do enough to where like you don't end up losing a foot to gout. That's all I got to say. But that's the thing too, is like Gary Vee, the reason he's able to continue doing shit at the crazy amount of hours and levels that he does is because he uses cocaine probably.
Yeah, cocaine, but, yeah.
Yeah, if you don't have enough money to be able to go and get a dime bag of cocaine.
Yeah, then you can't be Gary.
Those dreams goodbye. You're not able to make it work. Or Adderall, if you can't get a script for Adderall, baby, I'm sorry. Like, it's just not going to be as easy for you.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, well, I think we've had a good chat. We didn't talk as much about super yachts as we planned, but honestly, that's just proof that the vacation, it's not the grind set mindset. It's the Zen apocalypse vacation mindset.
Exactly. Everybody is just wearing Tommy Bahama shirts. They're hanging out. We're listening to Yacht Rock.
Yacht Rock?
You never heard of Yacht Rock?
And we've commandeered a local super yacht. And we didn't, it took us like 25 minutes, you know, not 12 hours, you know, and then, and then the cops shot us from like a helicopter, you know, like a private military force, like Blackwater came and got domed us. But hey, those 45 minutes we lived that life. So
yeah, that's what we got to experience it all. And you know what? In the next life, when everything is a simulation, I'm going to throw my glasses on and relive that moment.
Oh, somebody asked me if I dissociate a lot every day.
Every day. That's the only way. Look, hey, man, you don't have a vision board. If you don't have like the means to be able to get the things you want, how do you get them? Dissociate. Yeah.
Dissociate. See, that's how a man, because men don't make vision boards because we're afraid, you know, of our emotions. We just dissociate instead. That's our vision board.
Yeah, go get a six pack of whatever is your favorite beer. For me, that's an 805. I sit down, I chug those bitches, and I dissociate for a few hours. And you know what? Those are the best hours of the week.
Listen, drive out 16 hours to the middle of Missouri. Find an Appaloosa horse, you know, like an old one that's creaky, looks like it's going to die soon. Take out a lawn chair, put it there. Drink a Pabst Blue Ribbon that you bought in Colorado, right? Stare that Appaloosa horse in the face until it dies and think about your grandmother. It's a good time. It's how you know what you want in life, right?
Exactly. That's your vision board, baby.
That's your
Anything
vision
board. Anything is a vision board if you dissociate hard enough.
Yes. Oh, my God. I never have agreed with anything more. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap it up.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, I don't know what this was. I'm probably going to listen back to this and dissociate. But I'm glad we
did it. Just name it that. Fuck whatever we had planned. Just call it like Nick and Katie dissociate.
Nice. We're back on, baby. The show's back.
Yes. And it has the same type of energy, which is just us hanging out.
Us hanging out and dissociating.
Yes. I love it.
All right. Well, thanks for anybody and everybody who listened to this, however far in the future, however far through the apocalypse you are.
Never forget.
Dissociate your way through. See you next time. Next week, 6 months from now, whenever. We decide to come back.
Well, bye, Hoochie Mamas and Papas. We'll talk to you maybe. I don't know.